You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, and welcome to our program. Our guest today is Dr. Tara Barnhart, who is Dr. Veterinary Medicine and out of the Southwest Kansas area. Doc, good to have you on the program today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Well, this story got started really a couple weeks ago when it came out about hundreds of cattle dying in Southwest Kansas. You were closely involved with all of that. But let's talk before we go there. You're a K-State trained vet, right? Who ended up in Southwest Kansas. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm a Kansan through and through. So I grew up in Southwest Kansas. I grew up in, it's called Satana, about 30 to 40 minutes from Oklahoma and probably an hour from Colorado. So as far south and west as you get, I went to Kansas State University because I was raised by a bunch of wildcats. K-State runs deep in my family, and there just wasn't really another option that I thought of.
And probably wouldn't have education. Anybody wouldn't have supported any
undergrad.
Other. Yeah, no one would have supported any other options
right? They
either,
were
right?
Like, so you can wear purple or you can wear purple. So I got my undergrad at K-State in animal sciences and industry. And then I went on to get my doctorate there because they have a phenomenal veterinary school. And in particular, a wonderful beef group that supports that veterinary school, and I wanted, you know, specialize in bovines or cattle eventually. And I ended up, because I like to go to school so much, I got my master's as well, because my kids like to ask me, how much school did you go to? And I'm like, I went to all of it, all school. but I got my master's in animal welfare, an animal welfare based project that we did in feed yards. And that's kind of where I got my passion and interest in production medicine from the start, was just that work in the feedlot. So currently I am residing in Johnson, Kansas, which is only 45 minutes west of where I grew up. It's another small town that's probably very many people's radar. And we're only like 20 miles from, well, 10 miles from Colorado, like 20 miles from Oklahoma. So we're further south and west. And I work currently as a consulting veterinarian, meaning that I work with large production farms, and that in my area is feed yards are on average about 50,000 head capacity. And then the dairies that I go to are anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 head on each farm. And so they're large production farms. I train employees. I work with employees very closely on animal health, animal welfare, and food safety is a big factor of my job. So we are producing, you know, a safe and wholesome food supply for America. And I take that job very, very seriously every day.
Well, Doc, one of the things that came out a couple of weeks ago, it was just a heat wave that went through, and basically a natural disaster in many ways. Hundreds of cattle died, but there were videos online that really kind of blew things out of proportion. What actually happened during that event?
So in Southwest Kansas, we are typically very well suited from an environmental and weather standpoint to raise cattle. It's very arid. We get about 14 inches of rain a year, so it's very dry. We have access to the aquifer, and so we can water crops with irrigation, and we have water for our livestock with pumping from the aquifer. But the conditions are typically very, very suitable for cattle in particular. And so that's why all of this exists out here. You know, there's to put it into context, in the county that was hardest hit, there's over 600,000 cattle on feed. It's truly feedlot country. And these feedlots are not all next door to each other. You know, they're in different zip codes, but they're
you drive around that area and it's truly feedlot country. And it's because of our weather, our typical weather patterns and our typical arid and dry climate that is really suitable to raising cattle until it isn't. And that's when Mother Nature handed us a natural disaster.
Describe that disaster. Describe what happened.
So we had gone 270 days without precipitation before June 1st. And that is important because it was super dry out here and nobody was happy. And even the feedlots wanted rain at that point, you know. And the first week of June, we got 3 inches of rain and we were thankful. And it was very helpful for the crops. It was very helpful for keeping dust control down. It was just what everyone really needed. The first week of June was also unseasonably cool. And so the temperature didn't get above 75 degrees during the day. It got very chilly at night, you know, down into the 40s, just really unseasonably mild to cool for that first 10 days of June. And cattle do a wonderful job of acclimating to their environment, but they have to have time to adjust. And so from June 1st through June 10th, we had this rainy, humid, but cool weather. And then on June 11th, it got up to 105 degrees. The humidity stuck around. It was about 60%. And our, what we call the killer, we typically have a lot of wind and we didn't. We were down below 7 miles an hour. And a breezy day out here is 20 miles an hour. So, you know, we're used to 30, 40 mile per hour winds being not severe. And so we had under 10 mile per hour wind and those cattle just didn't get to acclimate to the heat. It hit them, you know, suddenly. And then we didn't have any wind movement. Cattle don't sweat. And so they had no cooling because even if the wind's blowing hot air, it is a cooling effect on cattle. And then that night it did not get below 70 degrees. And that's what we really need for cattle to dissipate some heat and get rid of some heat overnight. And that way they can handle heat again the next day. And we just didn't get that night cooling and we didn't have any wind that night. And that's a disaster. And it's a known disaster when it happens. The problem is the forecast doesn't always call and tell you, hey, the wind's not going to pick up today, because we typically get wind all the time and it never came. And that is that's what kills cattle. And unfortunately, we had a perfect storm. And that is something we've experienced before. It's never been this severe. Partly because it's never been centered in the, you know, feeding mecca of Kansas. So the cattle feeding center of Kansas was really the geographical center of this weather event. And that is the context that I believe that video is missing, is there's a lot of cattle in the area that got hit. And so it would not have been so severe had it been one county away. Or two counties away, it just, you wouldn't even heard about it, you know.
Do you have an update on the number of cattle that actually died?
So we are going to be somewhere north of, and I feel bad. I want like an exact number just as much as everyone else, but it's going to be hard to extract those numbers. The numbers people are hearing are based on a lot of things. None of them have been inaccurate. Other than the 10,000 head in one day, that was a stretch because the event happened June 11th. So the dead cattle were first found June 12th. And then we had animals die the 13th, 14th, 15th, because the heat didn't go away and we didn't get cattle. We saved a lot of animals. I always want to reiterate that, but we didn't get some of those animals cooled off. And so we did lose cattle for several days. So it wasn't an overnight situation. Overnight was our biggest losses on from the 11th to the 12th. But then we did have losses on those subsequent days. We we're going to be north of 7,000, I think. I would think that we are going to keep south of the 10,000 number. And it's very important for people to realize that did not happen overnight. It did not happen at one location. It was, you know, multiple farms, multiple zip codes. It was multiple pins on those farms. So it wasn't just what that video portrayed. That video portrayed animals that had been moved out of their pen and they were trying to account for all of them. That was not where those animals died or where they were found.
So at a couple thousand dollars a head, 7 to 10,000 head, that's a bunch of money out there that goes into that. So there's certainly a disaster from that standpoint. The way you explained it makes sense. The second part of my question had to do with the social media aspect, because all of a sudden this story blew out of control. Not only were you exhausted from working through this, but you and several others tried to straighten this story out before it got crazy. And I'm not sure, kind of got crazy anyway. But how did you work through the social media aspect and what happened there?
So I aim in social media not to educate or not to come down on people for asking the questions, the hard questions. At the end of the day, in agriculture, we are producing food for a consumer. And if that consumer doesn't trust us any longer or doesn't want to buy our product, we are out of a job. And I take that to heart. And so I view the social media aspect of the opportunity to connect with consumers as a very powerful option that probably wasn't, you know, didn't exist decades ago, that consumers had questions or heard these things on the news, and maybe they became people who don't trust eating beef any longer. And so this was an opportunity to reach out and say, hey, I'm a veterinarian. My boots are on the ground. This is what actually happened. Connect with me. Come talk to me. Get off of TikTok. Get out of the comments of TikTok where the conspiracy theories are really, really strong, and come talk to somebody who saw this firsthand. And one of the feed yards I work with, Cattle Empire, did a fantastic job as well. You can follow them on Instagram or Facebook, and they got out in front of it and connected with people. And that's what it's about. We just want to make sure that people had the right information, and then they can vote with their pocketbooks at the grocery store next time, because maybe they feel a little bit better about feeding their family beef when they say, hey, that veterinarian said this was Mother Nature, and this wasn't, you know, terrorists or the government or the groundwater or, you know, the feed. It wasn't all these scary things that would make you not trust putting beef on your table for your family, because that's what I wanted to do with the social media side of it. Cause I feed this beef to my family, and I wanted people to know that it's safe. You're not going to see a supply chain issue, because it's not that many cattle in the big picture. That is hard to understand unless you know how many cattle are out here. And I just wanted to connect with people and give them a source of real, correct information. And then they can make their own opinions. There have been plenty of people who I've not convinced. And that's okay, because I'm not going to lose sleep over them, and they're probably not going to lose sleep over me. So,
well, Doc, I want to take a quick break here and come back and talk about the quality of Kansas beef. You're a Kansas girl, grew up in Kansas, went to Kansas State University, a doctor of veterinary medicine. You've seen it all come and go around. We'll talk about that and maybe where public, somebody listening can go to find out a little bit more. But we'll take a break. We'll come back. Our guest today is Dr. Tara Barnhart, who is doctor of veterinary medicine and has lived in Southwest Kansas for a good part of her life. We'll have more about that story and the quality of Kansas beef after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back. Our guest, Dr. Tara Barnhart. I call her Doc because she takes care of thousands of animals in Southwest Kansas. Doc, we're talking about the quality of beef going into the break. Kansas beef, talk about the quality. You said you put it on your plate for your family. Why is that?
So I choose beef for a lot of meals for my family. And I think, you know, in the Midwest and in Southwest Kansas in particular, that's probably more common than maybe our coastal friends. But this, you know, we don't have fresh competing protein in the form of seafood. So this is our fresh local protein, and I have a lot of faith in it. There's a lot of safety measures in place to make sure that the beef we consume in the United States is safe. Beef is a nutritious option. There's a lot of very lean cuts of beef. You can choose your hamburger on how lean you would like it for your family. There's so many benefits from consuming beef on a health standpoint. And then I think it's a wonderful eating experience. I'm with you. There is a lot of quality in the eating experience, and that's because there's a lot of experts behind raising beef. We're not out here, you know, with a piece of wheat stuck in our teeth going, man, how are we going to do this today? there's a lot of intricacies and expertise that go into producing this quality product, and the genetics in my lifetime have improved tenfold. So I'm excited to continue to see that. And those genetics and the feeding, the nutrition and the health that we put into these animals, it's only improving and changing because of consumer demand. And so as consumers want, we've seen this through COVID, consumer trends are going to a higher quality product. Because if they're going to spend their money on beef, they want it to be a darn good cut of beef. And we're able to adjust to that and make sure that there is supply for that demand that has been created. And some of my feed yards, they raise some of the best beef in the world. And I know that because I know what programs they get to go into, and I know what stores they get to sell their beef to and what color the tray is. And usually, you know, like black tray beef, the styrofoam is actually black, is usually a very high quality piece of meat in the retail space of any store. And a lot of my feed yards are producing black tray beef. And I'm very proud of that because there's a lot of people that I work with on a daily basis that put their blood, sweat, and tears into creating this wonderful eating experience for our consumers. And these people have long and hard days on the good ones, on the days that nature is nice to us. And this week that we're talking about in June, it was not an easy day to come to work. It was not an easy day to stay at work because it was 105 degrees and it was hot and cattle were dying and our hearts were literally in our throats, because when you feel that helpless, you don't go to work in the agriculture industry to not care about what you're doing. And these people care. And my heart goes out to them still, because those were some rough days, and they had no choice but to come to work and be there for the animals. And I'm so proud of them for the work that they did. Because what that social media video didn't show was how many animals we saved. It's easy to sensationalize the dead animals. That's what caught people's attention. But there are literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of animals that we were able to get cool and to not have trouble with. And that doesn't get said on the news enough.
Hey, Doc, you have a public, or you're online on Facebook. Where can people go to just connect with you?
Absolutely. Probably for informational posts, I have some public posts on my Facebook. Tara Rooney Barnhart is where I'm at on Facebook. And then I keep it a little bit lighter and more fun on Instagram, just because it's easier to
hop on there and you know, if I'm covered in manure one day at work, I might hop on and say, hey, this is what I'm doing today at the feed yard. And this is, you know, why we do this. And I like to connect with consumers on a daily basis. So my Instagram is TR_Barnhart, BARNHARDT. And that's probably where I'm most active, posting pictures of cattle, posting information about what just happened, but also just posting everyday life as a cattle veterinarian. I'm also a mom, so I can't pretend that you won't get spam of my kids. And if you don't think they're cute, you're just gonna have to scroll by that, because they're the reason I get up every morning and do what I do. But so connect with me on Instagram. I'm happy to answer questions. Send me a message. I check that religiously, so that if there's somebody who has a question, that I can be the source of information for you. Because at the end of the day, I am a cattle veterinarian. I'm an agricultural enthusiast. I'm so excited about what we produce for our consumers, but I am a mom and I'm a wife, and I have the same questions sometimes, and I have the same concerns, because I have a family to feed too. So don't feel alone in those concerns as a consumer, and just know that you have a friend out there who's willing to answer your questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'm connected to a lot of people who do. You know, if I don't know the answer about poultry production, I apologize. That is not an area that I'm very knowledgeable in. But I have some friends and I have some people that I trust that I can put you in touch with. So don't hesitate. And yeah, that's what social media is great about, is that connection. And I'm excited to further provide that for consumers.
Doc, appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're just swamped busy, not only family, but all the people and animals, companies that you take care of. Thanks for joining us today and being a part of our program.
Absolutely. Thank you for putting something out there on this topic. I think getting people the right information has been very important through this, and the beef producers of Kansas definitely appreciate your, will appreciate your words out there.
Well, thanks for joining us, you out there. The program's brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, where you can live with confidence. I'm Gary Shorman.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.